It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Are you a tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
The most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
To work this final series.
If your car is carrying an extra load, like towing a boat or caravan,
book a Petters brakes, steering and suspension check for just $28.
Yes, it is Dead Set Legends time on Triple M. And where would you rather be, folks, than right here at the mighty MCG? It is the best day of the year. Forget Boxing Day. Forget Christmas. It is AFL Grand Final time. The day you jump out of bed, you get your barbecue sorted, and you watch two teams, the best two teams of the year, go to battle here at the best stadium in the world. I'm Jay Clark. I tell you what, I'm super pumped because we're going to watch Collingwood and West Coast today do battle on the big stage out there. And next to me is a man who has been out there three times. He has nerves of steel. He was the best kick in the competition. Played 287 games, two-time All-Australian, and an all-round good guy. Give it up for Lee Montagna.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Good to see a live audience here. Don't get nervous for the big crowd we've got here, but it's a great build-up, isn't it? There's a buzz around the MCG on this morning. The weather looks like it's going to hold off. I've had a look at the forecast. The rain's gone. Is it starting to rain? As I said,
it's a scratchy start for you.
Sorry, I'm no Jane Bunn, but it is starting to rain. Well, hopefully it doesn't rain too heavy because it's going to be a great day. Looking forward to this. As a footy fan, you've got to love Grand Final day, and the black and white roots are coming out in me, Jay. I grew up barracking for Collingwood as a kid.
Did you?
Obviously, throughout my career, I couldn't obviously barrack for the Pies, but I'm back today. I'm on the Pies bandwagon. Go the Pies.
We're going
to
break down this game like you would not believe, but I just want to test the temperature out here, Joey. We've got a very good-looking crowd here, very passionate crowd here. I just want to know who here is supporting Collingwood. Oh, I like it. I like it. Now, West Coast fans, you can't be outdone here. You've come across the country, put up with all this Melbourne-based crap for too long. Today's your day. Who's here following the Eagles? Yeah! Oh, I think the Collingwood crew have got them covered so far, Joey. Hey, how's your week, mate? You come to the ground today. You've been on the Big Dance three times. You still get that buzz, mate? You still get the goosebumps thinking about what's about to happen out there today?
Oh, yeah, I still love Grand Final morning. It's a great build-up. Obviously different no longer being a player. I'm probably not going to be as envious of the players that win the medallions today. They all deserve it. There's some great stories out there for both teams, but really looking forward to the day. I know you are, but straight off the top, I got something that I found on Thursday. It was in the Whispers column, the Herald Sun. We all love reading the Whispers.
Uh-oh.
And it said, which multiple premiership player had a run-in with security at a city pub after an altercation with a high-profile media figure after the Brownlow? And then I was on the Triple M Hot Breakfast on Thursday morning, the live audience at Melbourne Public, and Will Anderson had this to break earlier in the show.
And I think, Tom Brown, you might have some insight into this.
I have got some insight on this.
So today's Whisper, which multiple premiership player had a run-in with security at a city pub after an altercation with a high-profile media figure Brownlow night?
So whereabouts was it first?
It was an inner-city nightclub. Don't know the particular one.
Yeah, okay.
Post-Brownlow. Okay.
Post-Brownlow. Monday night.
Ever got any names, Tommy? Who was a media person involved? Have you got any?
Very much innocent media person involved. Boldy was a bystander, was our own Jay Clark, Jay-Z.
Little Jay-Z.
Correct.
Okay. So multiple premiership player had little Jay-Z in a headlock and security had to intervene. Is that's the mile I'm getting?
Yeah, I understand security was reluctant to intervene, much to Jay-Z's displeasure, because he at no stage did he think this was a joke. This bloke had him lined up, premiership player.
Okay, so whose armpit was Jay-Z sniffing at that stage?
He wasn't. I'm not going to name the player.
Why?
Well, just
for fear of being put in a headlock himself.
So Tommy Brown didn't want to go there and name the player that you got in a little bit of a scuffle with, because Tommy Brown, he obviously a bit scared. And then I came on the show and I heard whispers who it was. I didn't know that they didn't reveal the player, so I put my foot in it.
Oh, can I just mention this, Das? Joey was looking over at my paper and Scott Gullen's The Whisper that we went to earlier. Which multiple premiership player had a run-in with security at a City pub after an altercation with a high-profile media figure on Brownlow night? And he's just whispered to me, who? And I whispered back, Jay-Z. And the look of excitement on his face.
Yeah, that was the case.
We'll have to get the story Saturday morning with Jay-Z on Dead Set Legend.
What time do we tune in to hear
I
that?
I can't believe with Martin Pye. Isn't that fine? So I broke the story that it was with Martin Pike. I thought if you were going to get in a fight with someone, it might have been someone our size, someone a bit smaller and a bit skinnier. Yeah. Martin Pike, man, I know you did one amateur fight and you won it, but what were you doing trying to take on the scary Martin Pike?
Yeah, well, I was just standing there at the bar, Joey, having a couple of beers with my mates, and it's fair to say he picked me across the room and got in my face about the fact that I've never played on the big stage before, that I'm a journalist and I get to speak to great men like you and discuss our great game, having not won 21 finals or won 4 premierships like he has. So it was awkward to begin with. And then when he had me in a headlock and security came over, it's fair to say that things got pretty scary pretty quickly. So the great man, I'm sure he'll be listening and be happy that we're talking about this on air. But yeah, I did wet my pants pretty quickly, it's fair to say. Joey, not that I've ever met him or spoken about him or written about him before, but it's fair to say he has a big head and he had the scary eyes going and I was out of there pretty quick, it's fair to say, Joey. So thanks for dropping.
That's all right. Next time, pick on someone your own size.
Yeah, it's fair to say. He's a big man, big hands. In a headlock. It doesn't take much to get me out in a headlock. Hey, Joey, next up, mate, I want to speak to you about the challenges West Coast face coming to a ground where they haven't had a lot of success over the journey. 2015 against Hawthorn, they were absolutely belted. You had not a similar experience, but lost in 2009 and then had to do the job in 2010. So we're going to revisit that. We've got a massive show ahead. Andrew Embley, Jude Bolton, Peter Dacos. We're going to discuss Collingwood versus West Coast today. A massive show, and we're going to give away 2 tickets.
2 tickets to give away.
2 tickets. The joint is full. There's going to be 100,000.
Who needs there. Tickets? There we go.
After 11 o'clock, this is where you want to be. We have the last 2 tickets to get into that very full stadium. There's going to be a quiz after 11. What a massive game we've got in front of us. Collingwood versus West Coast, of course, Joey. Two of the best stories of the season, aren't they? I mean, who could forget this time last year? You know, it was the season from hell for Nathan Buckley. He came within a whisker of getting sacked. And then West Coast, I had them bottom four. Where did you have the Eagles at the start of the year?
No, I must admit, I didn't have Collingwood or West Coast in my top eight at the start of the year. They've both had sensational seasons, just playing great team football, and that's what gets you to the big stage. You have to play well as a team. They're both peaking at the right time of season. It's going to be an absolute beauty.
Hey, West Coast, they come to Melbourne. They haven't had a great record over here in recent years. It's been better this season, but they have to confront some mental scars, do you think? Because 2015 against Hawthorn, the grand final was over by quarter time. Would those guys who played in that game and were beaten so convincingly, would something like that be weighing on their mind today, and how do you wipe that slate clean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's two types of losses. You can have a loss where you've played your heart out, you've had a crack, and you've just gotten beaten by a better team, but you can have a loss where you're really disappointed with your effort and some of the performances, and I think that was the case for West Coast in 2015, particularly some of the players that had really poor games, and it would weigh on their mind. But today can do two things. They can use that as a trigger to spur them on to play a really big game today. But for some, it might actually be a burden of, gee, I played poorly a few years ago in a grand final. I don't want to have another bad grand final, because that's where reputations start to get forged. So if a couple of those players that didn't play well a few years ago start poorly, it might start playing on their mind. They'll start thinking about, oh, geez, what if I don't play well today? But for some others, it'll spur them on. And particularly guys like Kennedy, Darling, Elliot Yeo, who are all superstars and have had terrific seasons, it's really important for them that they start well. But certainly when you do lose a grand final, it can be that little bit extra you need. I know in 2009, when we got beaten by Geelong in that great grand final, after the game I spoke to Andrew Mackey, and he said the difference in that last quarter when Geelong just got over the line was losing in 2008. It just burnt for them. It just stuck there, and he said, use that. And I've got no doubt in 2010, after we lost in 2009, we were 4 goals down against Collingwood in that drawn game. But that second half, we just found a little bit extra, and no doubt it was because because of losing the year before. So it does burn. It does give you that little bit of extra motivation, but they've got to use it in the right way.
How big is an advantage for Collingwood playing here, their home deck? They're going to have the support in the crowd. How big a factor is that?
I think it's a huge factor. I think we've got to be honest and say if this was a home and away game during the middle of the year, home ground advantage is always a factor. If you've got two even teams and it was played in Perth, you'd lean towards the Eagles. If it's played at the MCG like it is today, you lean towards Collingwood. So no doubt playing here is a huge factor. They're going to have the majority of the crowd on their side. West Coast did beat them here a few weeks ago, so that is a tick for West Coast that they know that they can do it. But certainly playing at the MCG is a massive advantage for the Pies, who play here so regularly.
The selection is always the big story in grand final week. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is he going to come up? Is he going to be in the hyperbaric chamber? I love all that stuff. And we find out that Jeremy McGovern has hardly trained all week. He had a light run yesterday and looked restricted. Does Adam Simpson take the punt on Jeremy McGovern, who is 80% fit? What is that like for him sitting in the car yesterday knowing he's not fully right?
Well, there are two things. During a home and away season, every week there are players at clubs that don't train for the whole week and they get themselves up for the following week, or they're sore and they don't go through training. We just don't see it every week because the cameras and all the focus isn't on every club at every training session. But once it comes to finals time, we see Max Gawn walking laps and we make a big deal of it. Oh, Max Gawn didn't train today. That happens at every club throughout the whole season. So Jeremy McGovern, a hit pointer, he doesn't need to train. He's been training all year. Having 1 week of not training makes no difference to your preparation. With a hip pointer, and I've had a couple, a little bit of local anaesthetic can actually numb the area, and it doesn't restrict your movement. So I think Jeremy McGovern won't have any dramas today being at full strength. He'll still play the way that he always has, and Collingwood have to prepare for McGovern to be at his best, because if they just plan for McGovern being a little bit off, you're flirting with danger.
Just going back to 2010 for a second, so you guys drew against Collingwood first up. How banged up were you guys for the replay?
Yeah, we were. We were banged up physically and mentally, because we thought it was going to be the final game of the year. We put it all on the line in that second half, as I said, and we just struggled to get back up from there. We had guys, you know, Stephen Baker had a broken foot. Michael Gardner, our number one ruckman, did his hamstring in that final, couldn't play the replay. And we were banged up. We were pretty sore going into that last game, prepared as if it was the final one, and weren't able to get ourselves up. And Collingwood, to their credit, prepared really well, and they were too good, and they were the best team that year anyway. So our big chance was in 2010. But, I mean, this time of year, you've got a lot of players that are sore. They've played 26 weeks of football at a high intensity, a high level. There's not many guys that are waking up today jumping out of bed fresh as a daisy. They've all got something, but that's part of the management of your body and a good team, is being able to play good football when you're either sore individually or got a team that's pretty sore.
Now, Joey, you and I, we're tight, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're good mates. And, you know, we're doing the show, the Triple M's Dead Set Legends. But it's fair to say, a couple of weeks ago, you said Collingwood was going to go out in straight sets.
Yeah. Got that wrong?
So we've eaten that humble pie.
Yeah.
And you thought what watching them against Richmond last week?
Oh, I could not believe it. I must be honest. I kept writing Collingwood off and they just kept proving me wrong. They are playing just terrific team football and I didn't see them beating Richmond at all. And I don't think many people did. So I'm not alone there. But but what it was is their pressure and their numbers around the footy. And what you realise now with football, we've seen it with the Bulldogs and Richmond and now particularly Collingwood this year, you don't necessarily have to have the best team on paper to win grand finals. You just have to have this belief, this spirit amongst yourselves, playing this passion and intensity. And Collingwood have got that at the moment. And Western Bulldogs rode that wave all the way through in 16, Richmond last year. And that's why I just think Collingwood are just playing the right way you need to play in finals at the right time of year.
We're going to analyse this game right throughout our show in the second hour, of course. Speaking to Jude Bolton a bit later and Collingwood champion Peter Dacos. And we've also got two tickets to give away, Joey.
I know.
The last two tickets. They are yours. Come down here just outside gate 3, between gate 3 and the Ferris wheel. We're giving those two tickets away. They're the last ones into the Coliseum behind us after 11 o'clock. Be part of that quiz, so get down here. But next, Joey, we're going to wind back the clock. We're going to talk about your experiences in 2009, 2010. I heard you were so nervous, you almost brought up your Cocoa Pops. Is that right? So we're going to wind back the clock and talk about what it was like walking up and going onto the great ground out there.
Joey and Jay-Z. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
With on the Dead Set Legends.
Won't tell you story.
It's story time with Joey.
Story time with Joey, one of my favourite segments of the week. It's where we wind back the clock and we delve into your magnificent career, Joey. I'm going to start with 2009. What on earth is it like being a star player on the biggest day of the year? What's happening in the tummy, mate? You must be very nervous.
No doubt the players are nervous. Certainly you struggle to sleep because you can't help being a player laying in bed the night before a grand final and thinking about what might happen, whether you win or lose, and the feelings and the thoughts. And you have to quickly try and get that out of your head, because you're always taught when you're as a kid and when you're playing, you can't get caught up in the future. You've got to stay in the present. So you don't sleep that well. You're a bit nervous. And I woke up on 2009 grand final morning. I lived with Justin Kaczynski at the time, and we're sitting there having breakfast, and I looked at him and I said, we'd been very quiet, and I said, how's your breakfast going down? He said, it's going down pretty ordinary. What about you? And I said, I can't eat. And that was the first time we broke the ice and went, geez, it's a different feeling. Your stomach feels all churned up. You're nervous. You've got to control yourself. And then you drive into the ground and it's a different atmosphere. There's already people walking around and you know what's happening. Even the pre-game routine is different. I mean, players are creatures of habit. We love routine. We always eat the same dinner the night before, the same breakfast. Love doing routine because it helps us prepare and be consistent. But it's a different feeling. And I remember 2009, we're in the rooms pre-game. We're trying to do our warm-up. And there's Mark Seymour on the, you know, on the biggest stage playing the Holy Grail. And I think Jimmy Barnes was playing as well. And you can hear the music while you're trying to prepare for a game. And it's different. There's a buzz. And then when you do your warm-up, normally you go out on the ground and you do your kick-to-kick and your warm-up. Because there's pre-game entertainment, you put your runners on and you go into the underground car park and you're doing your lane work in the car park alongside the cars that are parked underneath the MCG. So it's different, it's bizarre, and you need to mentally prepare for that and say it's a different routine, it's not going to affect my performance, and still switch on and try and play the best you can.
What about your great mate? So in 2009, you're taking on Geelong. Your great mate, Nick Riewoldt, one of the more sort of serious captains of our time, quite serious at the best of times. How on earth is he going on grand final morning and an hour before the game?
Well, Rui was interesting. Look, we talk about Jeremy McGovern and not training with that hip pointer. Rui actually strained his hip flexor before the 2009 grand final. And the night before, he went out to one of the hospitals somewhere. I think it might have even been Box Hill, he said, and had to get some cortisone injections. And he was running up and down the corridor at a hospital, testing if the injection would actually work to be able to numb his feelings. So everyone's got their own stories on their pre-game preparations. As I said before, very few players are feeling fresh as a daisy after 26 weeks of football in a long season. So everyone's got their little niggles. Everyone's feeling different. Some guys try to stay relaxed. Nicky Del Santo was always one that was very relaxed and very calm. Rui would be very uptight and very tense. So
what about Bakes and Milne?
Mate, Bakes and Milne were the same. Always joking around, just staying relaxed, having a good time. So everyone had their own preparations, but deep down, everyone's feeling the same. Everyone knows what's about to happen, knows it's the biggest day of your life, and you're quite nervous. And that's part of the challenge of grand final days, being able to control those nerves and that energy to be able to play your best.
There's a winner, obviously the greatest day of the players' lives, but there also has to be a loser. And in 2009, the Matty Scarlett toe poke to Gary Ablett goes down forward, Chappie snaps, kicks the goal, and crushes your football dream. What was it like? You go off back into the rooms. You got 5 minutes with all the players. You're there with Ross Lyon. How emotional is that?
Yeah, the first 5 minutes, you're shell-shocked. You know, you're not sure how to feel, and the emotion hasn't really kicked in fully. And then you head into the rooms, and, I mean, that grand final, for big portions of it, we were sort of in control. We had a lot more inside 50s, more scoring shots. We just didn't convert and kicked a lot of behinds. And then 5 minutes after the game, we're in the rooms, and it was just Ross Lyon and just the 22 players. And Ross Lyon shut the door, and he got up and he started to talk about how proud he was of the season and the group. And because that game, we laid it all out there. As I said, we couldn't have given much more effort. We just didn't convert on the scoreboard. And he started telling us how proud he was. And then Ross Lyon, the man that was, you know, so big and tough and, you know, rode us hard, started welling up and getting emotional.
Started crying.
He started welling up, talking about how proud he was of this group.
And then what happened?
The whole room, basically, we all started getting quite emotional. 22 grown men just realising that we've let, you know, our dream and something we've chased our whole life, we've let it slip through our grasp. And it sunk in, and there was a moment for a few minutes where it was just silent, and players were sobbing, players were crying, and it was really emotional. And there was nothing more to be said. And we opened the doors and there's all your families and your partners and your kids, and all the players just went over and spent some time with their loved ones, just letting it sink in. And that's the irony of grand final day. You're 2 hours away from experiencing the greatest joy of your life and the greatest moment, but you're also 2 hours away from experiencing, as a footballer and as an athlete, your worst feeling you can have as a player. So it's the irony there. You've got to take the risk to feel this euphoria, but at the same time, you're taking the risk that you're going to feel this feeling that is going to stick with you forever. So it's a real ironic and tough situation for these players.
In the second hour, mate, we'll talk about 2010 and the crazy scenes that happened there. But come down, because we've got two grand final tickets to give away here, Joey. Outside gate 3 at the MCG before Collingwood versus West Coast. The joint is full, Joey. There's only two spare seats in the house, and we have got the tickets. We want you to come down here. We're going to do a quiz after 11, so be part of that, Joey. But tell you what, speaking of superstars, we are joined by one of the greatest goal kickers in the game's history. This man could thread the eye of the needle from absolutely everywhere on a massive day for his beloved football club. Good morning to you, Peter Dacos.
Jay and Lee, how are we, boys?
Morning, Dakes. Very well, thank you. It's always exciting on grand final morning. Tell us how you've woken up. How do you feel this morning about your beloved Pies?
Joey, it's good to be alive, buddy. It's good to be alive. So, look, I'm really excited. I mean, look, I actually ended up, I'm in Maroochna. So
Maroochna.
Just 15 minutes from Shep there, but did a breakfast there. I'm on my way back to Melbourne to do some special comments for the game. But look, I'm really excited, because normally this time of year, like with 16 other clubs, you're parked and looking forward to another year. So I'm just, the expectation's huge, and I'm expecting the boys to win. That shouldn't surprise a lot of people. So it's going to be a great game of football.
Dakes, can you believe this is happening? Like a year ago, all the talk about Nathan Buckley, the start of this season, they started 0-2, played Carlton in round 3. Carlton kicked the first 3 goals of the game, and we're all sort of wondering, oh dear, you know, not again. How have you charted the remarkable rise of the Pies since round 3? Because it's been a magic carpet ride since then.
Well, the key to any, talent is one thing, but clearly, confidence and team spirit is all important. And naturally, that comes about when you start winning a few games. And they got on a bit of a run there midway through the year. I'm not sure to be exact whether it be round 8, 9, but they took all before them for around 9, 10 rounds there, and then had a little bit of a hiccup, but realigned and then got themselves firstly. After the preliminary rounds, they qualified and finished top 4. More importantly, and look, it's been it's great. And as I always say, you can measure heights and weights and how long a guy can jump and how quick he runs, but maturity is a hard one to quantify. And they've had a lot of players not fully mature, but you know, certainly in comparison to last year, really come on, like Jordan Ngoi and Cox and Tommy Langdon, and you know, Brody Grundy's year's been huge. There's probably 10 of those kids you can, in comparison to last year, you can say that genuinely, gone ahead in leaps and bounds. It's been fantastic.
Now, Dakes, obviously, as a Collingwood great, you've had a strong attachment to the Pies for a long time, working in the media, watching. But does it feel any different having a son involved? How do you go now having that vested interest with a son a part of the club? Obviously, it would feel different if he was playing today, but still, does it change the way you see the Pies having your son playing for them now?
Oh, Joey, look, it's clearly brought me more in touch with the football club. I've never had a direct football involvement. I've had my opportunities to come back and wasn't to be. And look, I'm just wrapped he's part of it. I would have loved it if he was part of the 26, being part of the emergency squad, because it would have meant he would have been part of the parade, more directly part of the parade, and then, would have got to go onto the ground today and be part of the warm-up and soak it up a little bit. And I thought, as part of his development, would have been just a fantastic experience. Look, on the flip side, just to be part of the whole mix of things, you've got your 22, but, the whole list plays an important role, and that's what I spoke to him about through the week, just saying that, you're part of a premiership list here, possibly a premiership list and a grand final list. So the bigger picture is he's still a part of it, and it's been a great ride this year. I mean, last year, this year, and I think this year he's played more games and probably been bigger in the scope of things every second week. So I've been really pleased. And as a dad, and as you're aware now, sitting in the stands, you know, you're still emotionally intact, but and half the battle is that you really don't have a hold on it because they're out there and you can't support and can't help. But look, it's been a fantastic ride, really great. And I'm hoping today is the cream on the cake.
We're speaking to Collingwood great Peter Dacos. Dakes, you won the 1990 flag. You kicked two goals on the day and you bombed one from 50 metres out. It ignited the Collingwood charge. What do you feel when you think back to that moment? It must have been incredible.
Well, I'm not sure I kicked one from 50.
It looked like a long way out, Dakes.
All right. I'll take it anyway. Maybe people have forgotten. But again, you know, everyone plays their part. I think we kicked 13 goals for the day and there wasn't a lot of scoring going on. But, you know, these grand finals, it doesn't matter whether you win by six goals as we did on the day or you win by a point. The point being, and unfortunately Joey was on the flip side back in 2010, you know, and that was as close as you can get, you know, being a draw. But, you know, as long as you get over the line, it really doesn't matter. And it's something that's sat with me for a long time because it doesn't matter where I go, even this morning with the people out here. I don't know how many countless people came up to me and spoke to me about, that grand final and what it meant to them and their family and everything. And it's just... it really is warming and it's fantastic. It doesn't leave you.
Righto, Dakes, last before we let you go, mate, I presume you're tipping Collingwood, but give us a margin and who's going to win the Norm Smith medal?
I'll go with the Norm Smith at the moment. Look, because I will go with Collingwood, and it shouldn't surprise people, and it's not just because I was an ex-Collingwood boy, but their form last week, you talk about getting your timing and your game styles right at the right time of year. You don't get any closer. I hope it flows into today, and if they can replicate that, I think they'll blow West Coast away. So I'm going to go with Steel Sidebottom, who I love. I think Steel will get a lot of attention, so I'm going to go with someone just under, that might get under their guard, who's getting a lot of touches and the conditions might suit him, and that's Taylor Adams. So he's getting his 30 plus and he's been pretty good, and I think if it gets wet and it's slippery, the conditions will suit him to a T. Look, taking nothing away from West Coast boys, they were fantastic last week. They blew Melbourne away, who came in with some pretty handy form. I think it's going to be close. Collingwood by 8 goals.
Oh, I like it. You got the crowd here up and about. Dakes, we got to say goodbye, mate. Thanks so much for joining us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Have a magnificent day. Peter Dacos could just thread him from everywhere. The boundary is an absolute star.
And it is building, Joey. Can you feel the excitement out there?
I can feel the crowd's building. The weather, the sun's out. And it's building beautifully for a big grand final.
It's going to be a magnificent day here. But lots of people at home getting their grand final day barbecue together, Joey. This is why it is the best day of the year. You get your mates around and you'll watch the footy together. Now, tell us about the things, because you sort of want to be organised by about midday. What makes a great grand final day barbecue at home? What are we just going to make sure we've definitely got sorted?
Well, first of all, someone's got to be the selfless one to host it. Someone's got to have it at their house. You always want it at your mate's house that's got the biggest and best house and the big TV.
So maybe your house? Or
that's not my house. No, probably Rui's house, to be fair. You need someone to get the newspaper to organise the Norm Smith suite.
Yes.
You can't have a grand final day without getting the newspaper.
The Herald Sun.
Cut out the players and have the Norm Smith suite. $10 in. The winner gets the prize. Normally it's someone who doesn't even follow the footy who gets Scotty Pendlebury out of the Norm Smith suite and he'll win it today. You need someone, obviously, to organise the barbecue.
Yep.
Now, this is the big one because it's always a debate, especially with my mates, who's going to be the selfless one to cook the barbie?
Yep.
Because everyone wants to eat and watch the footy. No one actually wants to stand over the barbecue and cook the steaks and the burgers. So you need someone to take one for the team and cook the barbie.
It's more your responsible type. You've got to think outside the square as well, though, Joey. You got to check the gas bottle. I remember having a barbecue at my joint.
friends not happy with me when the gas... Clarky, why didn't you fill up the gas bottle? I had other things on my mind. Also, you got to make sure you pumped up the footies, Joey, because on the grand final day, what do you want to do at halftime?
Have a kick?
Yeah, have a kick.
Go in the street,
or,
have a kick.
Yeah, markers up with your mates. You sort of get a bit excited. You've had a couple of orange juices by this stage, so that's always important. You've got to get down to IGA Liquor if you're going to go anywhere and top up on that sort of
thing. But you know what I like about the grog? The smart people don't just get the slab of beer because everyone gets sick of beer by about three-quarter time, so you need the change-up. You need someone who goes, I'll get the CC and dry, or yes, I'll get the UDLs and change it up, because that's important.
Now, who are you thinking for your Norm Smith medal tip? So if you in a sweep, if you plucked out someone's name, whose name are you gunning for today? Who's worth it?
Oh, you want one of the big guns, let's be honest. You want one of the midfielders for either team. I think they're the ones that generally are going to perform on the big stage. So I'm happy with any of the Collingwood mids, to be fair.
Pick one.
If I get a West Coast one, I probably want Elliot Yeo. No, I would like Scotty Pendlebury. I'd take Scotty Pendlebury. I reckon Pendles today.
Yeah.
He'll win his second Norm Smith medal, and he'll go down in folklore as one of the all-time greats.
What is your favourite grand final memory, Joey? Outside of your own playing stuff, etc., what sticks in your mind? Is it being at the ground, sort of watching one, or at home with friends, or...?
The one that sticks out probably was the Western Bulldogs in 2016. I was at a mate's house watching it there, and I reckon that was quite emotional to see the Western Bulldogs win their grand final after all those years, and Rob Murphy and Luke Beveridge. So I like that story. There's still a part of me that likes that fairy tale story, and that certainly the Western Bulldogs beating Sydney Swans sticks out for me.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
And oh boy, it is an electric atmosphere down here at the MCG ahead of the biggest game of the year, Joey. It's Collingwood versus West Coast. Two incredible stories, and we're going to be with you for another hour. We've got Sydney's Jude Bolton coming up, Joey, and we're also giving away, as we've said, the last two tickets in about 20 minutes' time. This is where you want to be. If you want to see that game, this is where you need to be in 20 minutes. We're going to go through a quiz and give away these two prize tickets, Joey. But can I ask you quickly about Steel Sidebottom? He's been heavily backed for the Norm Smith medal. He's the trump card in that Collingwood midfield. Amazing run in the Brownlow medal the other night. What are you expecting to happen here? Because there is no way Adam Simpson can let him off the chain.
No, absolutely. I think Adam Simpson sends Mark Hutchings straight to Steel Sidebottom. You have to quell his influence. He's been such good form. This final series, he's so creative. He wins the ball on the inside. The outside brings other teammates into play. So they had a good look at it in the qualifying final. Steel Sidebottom will mix up his positioning. He'll play a bit of inside mid, a bit of wing, maybe start forward and drag Hutchings up the ground. But they'll definitely send Hutchings to him, and West Coast will work around it to get the matchups and the system they need, because you can't let him freewheel today, because he will slice West Coast apart.
His midfield buddy, Adam Treloar, can you believe it? What a story. Did a double hamstring injury, required surgery on one of them, and has come back to the finals and has added another leg to that Collingwood midfield. Now, I know you pinged your hammy in your last game. It was very sad. We wanted to see you get back. But what are the mental demons he would have got over in the past 4 weeks in September?
Yeah, he'll be fine now. He'll be flying. And really, having that break, an extended break, will probably keep him pretty fresh. So he'll be cherry ripe today. If the conditions stay like it is now, the sun's out, the grass will be dry. It's going to be a fast deck. Treloar could cut West Coast apart. I think that's the big advantage for Collingwood. If they've got so many players that can go in different positions, with Pendlebury and Taylor Adams, who predominantly play inside, that allows Sidebottom, Treloar, Phillips will flip around. They can mix up their positioning and get that creative run on the outside. And that's just why I think the Pies have just got a little bit too much depth in the midfield for West Coast.
The Pies have done it this season with a decimated backline. Can you believe Matthew Schoenberg goes down, does his knee. Lyndon Dunn goes down, does his knee. They've relied on Tommy Langdon, Jeremy Howe, excuse me, to get the job done. But Josh Kennedy is the danger man today. Can you imagine the streets of Melbourne if it's going to be a Collingwood premiership tonight, Joey? Where are we going to go? Where are we hanging out?
I don't know. The northern suburbs, go Preston, around there, where I grew up. They're all mad Collingwood there, so it'll be going off.
No sleep there tonight. Hey, we've got two grand final tickets. We're about to give them away in 15 minutes' time. It's a quiz. It's a real simple one. So start brushing out. We're about to give away those prize tickets. But let's break down the game for a little bit here, Joey, because Josh Kennedy, he is the West Coast spearhead, and he got a hold of Tyson Goldsack in that last quarter in that same game a couple of weeks ago. It's a bit under strength. It's a bit makeshift back there. Is that the one weakness in this Collingwood side?
Well, it is an unheralded and a bit of a makeshift back line for Collingwood, but what's been undersold in particularly the last 6 weeks with Collingwood's defence is their midfield have been supporting their defenders so well. They're only conceding under 50 inside 50s, and they're from a long way out. They're long and high, so Collingwood's pressure around the ball has helped their defence. It's been able to mean they can work together as a team. They're not coming in the passes low and hard and fast. And you're right, West Coast, that they are going to rely on Kennedy and Darling today. That's what they rely. Their forwards kick more goals than any other team in the competition. But history says that in grand finals, the big key forwards don't have much of an influence.
Whoa, hang on. We say that the big key forwards are the guys who get it done on the big stage when the pressure's at its highest.
Exactly right. And it's a bit of a myth because the stats say since the year 2000, only four players have actually kicked five goals in a grand final. And one of them was Jason Akimanis in the wet back in 2003 against Collingwood. The only players that have kicked five, Matthew Lloyd did it in 2001 against Brisbane. Ruffy did it for Hawthorn a few years ago. And Cameron Mooney kicked five when Geelong beat Port Adelaide by 100 points. So really, it's very rare for a key forward to dominate a grand final and take a stranglehold on the game. So Kennedy and Darling are going to have to defy the stats to kick a big score today if West Coast are to win.
And Liam Ryan, Willie Rioli, very dangerous for the Eagles. It is an amazing story, Tyson Goldsack. 27 weeks after he did his knee reconstruction. It's the third fastest recovery from a knee reco in the history of the game. But at the other end of the ground, Mason Cox. Did you see the strut, Joey? Last week.
How could you miss the strut? Huh? It was huge.
He's plucking marks. He's kicking goals. Alex Rance has got his head in his hands. USA. Can he do that again? Is he going to be a marked man out on the big stage today? There's no way Jeremy McGovern, Tommy Brass and co are letting him have the same space. Where was the body on him last week, Joey?
Look, Mason Cox will never play like that ever again. But even though he never played that well ever again. But he doesn't have to. He's played that game now to get Collingwood into a grand final. He just has to compete today and bring the ball to ground. As I said, I'd be very surprised if Mason Cox had a huge influence on this game. Yep. I think the West Coast defenders will play much better than Rance did. But he's just got to do what he's done, really, for the majority of the year. Be a focal point for Collingwood to kick to. The small forwards can reference where he is, get front and square. And I think it's going to be more important for the likes of Josh Thomas, Hoskin Elliott, Young Stevenson to have an influence. Trav Varko, if he plays a bit more forward, to have that influence. Because I don't think Cox will have a big one. The one that I do think might for Collingwood is Jordan Degoe. Degoe's the X factor. I can't see an obvious matchup for him for West Coast. If it's Will Schofield, I'm nervous as a West Coast supporter because I think Degoe would be too quick, too powerful. They don't want to send Shannon Hearn to Degoe because they don't want Hearn playing out of the goal square. So it's going to be the matchup. I think Degoe's the key for Collingwood this afternoon.
And what about the speed they got up there? Will Hoskin Elliott, Jaden Stevenson. Like, he's 18 years old, Jaden Stevenson. We didn't know whether he was going to get drafted at all because of his heart issues, and he's out there today. I mean, how important is he? Because if he's isolated one out in the square, he's got some zip, Joey.
Yeah, look, it's a bit like the key forwards. I'm not expecting too much from an 18-year-old in his first season to have a huge impact. He'll do his bit and he'll bob up, but it's more going to be a few more of the senior players that have played a little bit more footy. That's why I think someone like Josh Thomas might bob up with three or four goals because he's played a bit more footy, a bit more seasoned, and it's going to be physical and hard, and you need those sort of types of bodies, particularly inside the forward 50 where it's not going to be easy. But I just think over the whole ground, Collingwood are too much of an even spread of a team where West Coast to win, I think, are going to have to rely on their best five or six players.
Have you seen a ruckman play as well in the air, on the ground, as Brody Grundy?
Now, Brody Grundy's final series has been enormous. And if it wasn't for Steele Sidebottom, we'd all be talking about how good Brody Grundy's final series is. Lysette did a good job on Max Gawn last week. I think they're going to try and do something similar. Lysette might just follow Grundy over the whole ground, almost try and tag him and nullify Grundy's influence because he's having such a dominant effect on the game.
He has been outstanding.
Two Dead Set Legends.
The world is watching.
This will be one of my best performances.
Two grand final tickets.
It is full to the rafters.
Two choices. True or false.
That's it. All you got to do is answer the 10th question correctly and you will get these bad boys, and they are absolutely magnificent. So we've got a beautiful crowd here. Can't wait for it, Joey. Kick us off, mate, with the first question.
Right, down to name and team.
Michael, go Lions.
Michael Barracks of the Lions. Okay, let's see if you can sweep and get all 10 right. West Coast and Collingwood have never met in an AFL grand final. True or false?
True.
Oh, Mickey, I like
it. That's correct. One from one.
Paul Chapman. How are you feeling, Michael?
Still breathing.
Is today your day?
I'm breathing.
You're in the red jacket. I like it. Hey, Geelong superstar Paul Chapman kicked the final goal of the 2009 grand final against St Kilda, against Joey's mob. Did he break his heart? True or false?
Well, that's true.
Mickey.
Bad luck.
It was Maxi Rook, wasn't it, Joey?
Well, we've got to ask the kid the next question. Same question.
We'll go to question three. Who have we got there?
Next up, young fella.
Isaac, go for the Collingwood.
He goes for the Pies. Got his Pies jumper on. Okay. Mason Cox was born in the US state of Oklahoma. True or false?
False.
Yes, that's correct. He was born in Texas. Good boy. Question four.
You go.
West Coast are undefeated in games this season when both Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling have played in the same side. Is that true or false?
True.
That is true. Well, correct. Done. Good boy. Question five. This is Jimmy Barnes' first time performing at the AFL Grand Final.
False.
That's correct. That is false. He played 2009 against when St Kilda played. I remember hearing him up in the playing. Okay, now question six. Oh, this is Lee Montagna holds the record for the most disposals in a game at Marvel Stadium, the Etihad Stadium. True or false?
True.
Oh.
We're going to have to ask the next young man the question. Pretty straightforward. We're asking the same question again. Lee Montagna holds the record. What's your name, sorry?
Bailey.
Bailey, and you've got your Eagles kid on. So are you from Perth or are you from Melbourne?
Tassie.
From Tassie. A West Coast man from Tassie. Right, we're asking the same question again. Lee Montagna holds the record for the most disposals in a game at Marvel Stadium, the old Etihad. Is that true or false?
True.
No. Surely you were listening, man. Do I hold the record for the most touches that he had at Stadium, true or false?
False.
That is false. I thought it might have been true. I had 47 touches there, but Tom Rockliffe and Paddy Dangerfield had 48 touches at Etihad Stadium.
Joey, stop so talking about yourself. Who are you, sir? What's your name?
Max.
Max, who are you going for today?
The Pies.
Is today your day, my friend?
Yeah, I hope so.
You have four more questions.
He's not overly optimistic.
Four more questions to answer, Max. Right. Scott Lysett has played every single game this season. True or false?
False.
Sorry, Maxi. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Adam.
Hello, Adam. How are you feeling?
Good, mate.
You're
good.
A Collingwood fan?
I am. Got the Dakes number.
Well, he's got a Collingwood jumper on, Jay. It's a fair chance he does.
Just checking. Scott Lysett has played every single game this season. True or false?
True.
Well, well done. Well done.
All right.
Three to go.
Behind Jordan DeGoey, Will Hoskin-Elliott was Collingwood's highest goal scorer for the 2018 season. Is that true or false?
True.
Well done.
It is true.
Here it is, Joey.
41 goals he kicked. Okay, two to go. Question nine. Okay. Chris Judd won the Norm Smith medal in 2006.
That's true.
Oh, no. Okay, you go, Jay. Ask the young man.
What's your name, sir?
I'm Will.
How you feeling, Will?
Nervous.
Who are you following today?
The Pies.
Right, Will. You can do this, my friend.
Okay, question nine again. Chris Judd won the Norm Smith medal in 2006. True or false?
False.
Oh, well done.
That's correct. That was Andrew Embley in 2006.
Yep.
Now this is it for
this
the tickets,
it,
man. Last question.
Do you have, how bad do you want to be in there?
Very bad.
Who are you going to take? Right. Who are you going to take? You got your little mate there with you. Oh, man, he's very excited too. Righto, question 10.
Right.
In the AFL era, Collingwood and West Coast have played more finals against each other than any other two clubs. Is that true or false?
False.
Oh! Righto, go, Jay.
Hello, mate. What's your name?
Clancy,
who are you following today?
Oh, the Pies.
Did you get out of bed on the right side of the bed today?
Yeah.
Is today your lucky day, Clancy?
Yes.
Let's do it, Clancy.
In the AFL era, Collingwood and West Coast have played more finals against each other than any other two clubs. Is that true or false?
True.
Clancy!
That is true! Clancy!
Come up here, young man.
Jump up here, Clancy. Bring the mic. Tell us who you're going to take to the grand final with you, Clancy.
My old man.
Your old man. Oh. Where's your old man? Point him out for us. Stay here.
He's got his hand
right there. Did he take you to Collingwood games when you've been going to Collingwood games?
Nah.
Haven't been to many? Have you been to a grand final before?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
You're 13 and you're shaking. You're so excited. You're going to take your dad. Did you come down here today hoping to get tickets or have you just come for a look around?
I just came for a look around.
Well, it's your lucky day, Clancy, because the young man is shaking. Look at you. Here you go, buddy. Go and enjoy your first ever grand final. Say to your dad, Merry Christmas, Happy Father's
Merry
Day,
Christmas.
Happy birthday. And good luck. Hope the Pies win, Clancy. Well done, mate. Give it up for Clancy.
I love it, Joey. The little
well done, Clancy.
He's a Collingwood fan. Absolutely just made his day. That was absolutely outstanding.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, you just gave away two grand final tickets to a 13-year-old Collingwood fan. You made his dreams, Joey.
Oh, mate, he was shaking. He was that excited. He just came down here for a look, a beautiful atmosphere, grand final morning, Jude, as we welcome you. The kid just came down to spend a bit of a morning around the MCG, and now he's going with his dad to his first ever grand final. The kid was so excited.
He couldn't breathe. It was so good. He was shaking like a leaf.
Oh, we love it. Hey, Jude, thanks so much for coming in, mate. Two-time premiership player with Sydney, ladies and gentlemen. One of the hardest heads and courageous guys ever to take that field out there. Done it on the big stage. I'm going to get straight to it, Jude. Who wins out there today?
Oh, I mean, you can make a case for both sides. So that's the great thing about today's game. And but for me, I'm really wary about the soft prelim. I thought, Melbourne were insipid last week against West Coast. So I'm going to tip Collingwood today. I think they're battle-hardened. I think their midfield's deep, and I think Brodie Grundy will get on top and give them first use.
I want to ask you about the midfield, Jude. Do you believe that it's a midfield battle? Grand final days are generally won and lost in the midfield.
It is, but you know yourself. There's these cameos on grand final day, and like the West Coast Eagles, you could have some of the young fellas bob up, like a Willie Rioli or a Liam Ryan, and just, really set it alight. And for me, though, that depth of midfield, someone like a Phillips could have a big day out. Josh Thomas, really, lively player inside forward 50 for Collingwood. So I'm really confident that Collingwood can get up, but it'll still be a tight margin.
But Jude makes a good point. In grand finals and final moments can win and lose games. Just winning a contest here and there, a five-minute burst from a Stewie Jew. I mean, moments in big games when it's tight and contested can be the difference.
And that's the thing, like you spoke about before about Mason Cox. I don't think he might have a great day, but he's not, as long as he doesn't get beaten in the air, and that's the thing. So you've just got to be able to, your teammates have got to be able to rely on you in that moment.
But that said, Jude, we know Collingwood may have that midfield advantage. How do they avoid the big boy, Jeremy McGovern? He has the best hands in the competition, and he's a massive roadblock. So how do they get round him?
You've got to try and play around it. If you just keep long down the line, because he reads the play so well, I think that little subtle change of angles now and then entering inside forward 50, I think Collingwood's forward line is dynamic in that sense. Majacek and, Stevenson, those sort of stuff. So they can lead up well. You've just got to lower your eyes and just hit those targets.
Do you think this weather actually just swings a little bit of the favour back to West Coast? Because we all probably thought waking up this morning it'd be drizzly and wet. It'll suit Collingwood. It'd be hard for West Coast marking ability. But if it's going to be a beautiful day like this, do you think that just helps West Coast a little bit?
I think it does. Yeah, I think if they can get that supply from the midfield, you look at their forward line and, Jack Darling, who, he'd be carrying a few demons from the 2015. Had an ordinary day that day, but those guys would have learnt from that and, they've come in with a body of strong form.
Jude, you played a couple of grand finals, mate. What was it like for you running up out of that race, hearing the roar and knowing over the next 3 hours you were going to define your footy career in some ways? How did you feel?
For me, Jay-Z, that moment, I can still feel it. And you step up out of the concrete cavern as you step up onto the MCG, and it fills your lungs. The energy that's out there, 100,000 people, it's electric. And for me, grand finals, I don't remember too much of it, but just remember how you feel and those sort of things, and sit down for a quick photo with all the lads. And I remember looking at the photo after the game, and everyone's as white as a sheet. You sort of, you think it could be the best day of your life, but it also could be one of the worst.
And the first 5 minutes, what are your advice for younger teammates? Because you played 2005. Did you feel more settled 2012?
Yeah, 2012, trying to calm a lot of the guys down. Certainly a lot more confident around, the structure and how we could play, but for the young guys, it's just so overwhelming, that initial thing, and you get out quite early. You almost want to look up at the southern stand, soak it all in, and then just try and make the footy your focus. But your heart rate's going to be through the roof, isn't it, Joey? It's just full on.
Absolutely. It is a different environment. Even the warm-up, I was talking earlier, you warm up under the car park, you're wearing your runners, you can hear the music in the background. And the national anthem, as a player, that does get the hair standing up at the back of your neck when the roar of the MCG after the national anthem, you do your final run through, and then it's game on.
Well, you watch it as a kid, and you just want to
be out there, and I think that's where these guys got the lucky chance today. But you know, footy, you make your name on a big stage like that today.
Give us a player for each side, Jude. Who has got a really fire today for Collingwood and for West Coast for their team to win? Who have you got circled in your little notebook there?
Yeah, for me, I feel that Taylor Adams is probably going to have a big day today for Collingwood. I think he's one that's had a good body of work this year and is playing some good footy. I think he's just one that can just win it in tight but also get push hard forward. And the other one who's just one of my favourite players to watch is Elliot Yeo. I think athleticism, he is truly the modern player, Elliot Yeo. And, you know, if he takes the game on, look out.
It will certainly be a cracker.
Jude, I want to ask about the coaches. They've played each other twice this year. They've probably shown their hand a little bit. Do you expect either of the coaches to throw something different at one another, or do you think you just stick with what's worked for the majority of the year?
Yeah, it's a different one, because obviously they only played in round 17 and also in the qualifying final. So that innate knowledge of, you know, the way each other play is comes to the fore. But I think you do change a few things up here and there. And I think probably for Collingwood, you know, looking at, you know, the big men inside forward 50, Grundy may be sliding back at times after taking the ruck just to give a bit of support for the defence. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think you want to stick to your guns. There's got to be a lot more pressure than what Melbourne put on West Coast as well.
One of the big stories has been Geordie De Goey, hasn't he? Oh. I mean, this whole year, we think back 2 years ago, you know, he lied to the club, said he broke his hand with his dog. Really, it was a bar fight. Then earlier this year, drink driving. You know, I think a lot of people thought that Collingwood was prepared to cut him loose at that point. He starts working at the Salvation Army, builds his teammates' respect, and signed a massive contract. Like, this is a great story of a club showing faith in a person, and he's just flourished on the field this year.
He has, and I think in many senses it's a little bit like what happened with Dustin Martin at Richmond. You know, sign on and then suddenly become the hero at your club that you should be. And I think you know, he's held in such high regard across the league, and he's going to have a big part to play in today's game.
And this stage won't faze De Goey at all. I don't think he'll thrive on it. A bit like the Stevie Johnsons, the Dusty Martins, he'll thrive in this environment, the atmosphere, and
clear him out. Yeah. Clear him out of the forward line.
And I think that's the matchup West Coast be worried about. Is it Will Schofield? That's what I think. But that'd be a bit nervous if I was a West Coast fan.
And that's the big issue. So Shepherd would have been the likely one there. So you've got someone like a Schofield on him. I'd keep him inside forward 50 deep and just try and test him out really, really hard all the time.
We mentioned Jeremy McGovern before. What about the fact that he's not 100% today, Jude? Is mind over matter? If he's got a bung leg, a bung hip, he's done nothing this week, how's that going to affect him out there today?
I think it could be even lower. The little lower ribs there, I reckon it could be. So
hang on. So the scuttlebutt all week is that Jeremy McGovern has cracked ribs.
Yeah.
They're saying it's a cork.
Nah.
What do you think?
I think it's cracked ribs. I honestly think you just, where he got it, and it's really uncomfortable. You've had bruised or cracked ribs before, Joey. Really hard to play. You'd want to get a jab and some padding across that. Let's see from those tight jumpers whether we can see that padding through there. But, you know, if he goes back with the flight early on, you'd really want to test him out.
How much admiration you got for Nathan Buckley? I mean, you've watched his whole career. He was nearly gone.
Oh,
what would today be like? You'd be out in the field there with Channel 7 if he's lifting up the Premiership Cup.
It's one of the great stories. I mean, they've stuck with him, and he was weeks away from getting the boot. And, you know, actually, I was speaking to Kevin Sheehan in the ground just before, and 2009... he was coaching the under-16s out here, Nathan Buckley, and he was coaching Vic Country. The game got shifted for there out to Icon Park. That day, Nathan Buckley was coaching Vic Country. The winner of the medal that day was Sam Mitchell and also Adam Treloar. So one wins a Brownlow this week and one could be a Premiership player and a Premiership coach.
Last question as we dissect this game. The two tags, Mark Hutchings and Levi Greenwood. Who do you think they have to stop for the opposition?
Yeah, first of all, I guess Hutchings. I'd be not letting side bottom have space. He got far too much of the footy. He's too clean. He's too good a distributor. And, I'd much rather have him, get beaten by what you know around there, but don't let just the side bottom take him on. For me, Greenwood could just slide onto whoever's going to be hot, but, you know, I wouldn't want to let Luke Shuey get on top too early. So maybe just putting some body around the stoppages.
Do you still get the tingles, Jude? I know, what did you retire, 2013? You see this magnificent crowd here, you think about the game out there, the competitor inside, you want to just sort of jump. The boots on.
You know, when I was playing, like, honestly, towards the back end of every grand final, I didn't watch the last little few moments because you know there's so much the revelry, the excitement when they win. So it was just, now I just look back, I'm just a fan of footy now, and I go back out to watch an amazing game of footy.
As a fan, but also an analyst, leave us with your tip and your Norm Smith medalist as we go.
Okay, I'm going to tip the Pies today. The Pies by 19 points, and I'm going to have Taylor Adams as Norm Smith and Jack Darling to kick the first.
Oh, I love it, Jude. Let's quickly test the temperature of the room here. Who thinks Collingwood's going to win? The West Coast Army, I can't hear you.
A few have come over, but they're going to be drowned out today, I think. Look out.
Oh, look, I absolutely love it. Joey, I want your tip too, mate. We've got Jude's. What happens out there?
Oh, I think this will be the closest grand final we've had for years. I'm going to tip Collingwood by 9 points. And I reckon in a game that's going to be helter-skelter, everyone's going to be running mad, there'll be Scotty Pendlebury.
Yes.
He'll just glide in and
see,
out.
Work with for a big one.
He'll win his second Norm Smith medal and go down in Collingwood history as one of the all-time greats.
He won the Norm Smith medal in 2010, of course.
What about you, Jake?
I think Collingwood, I think this is the fairy tale year for the Pies. And that midfield depth you talked about, Jude, will certainly be too strong. That a great year, West Coast. Lee, see what happens. Have a great day, everyone. The AFL Grand Final, West Coast Collingwood. Stick on Triple M.
This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Catch up anytime on the Triple M app. Pedder's new world first vehicle weight matrix software. Know your weight at pedders.com.au. Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.